So in Washington, they're not going to make any tough decisions. And it's a lame duck Congress. And even though there's this budget commission inspired by the president to bring down the deficit that suggests let's raise the retirement age to 69, let's get rid of the mortgage interest deduction on taxes, which affects millions and millions of Americans. Let's make $100 billion cut in Pentagon spending. Even though those are the suggestions in the commission's report, it's hard to find someone who seriously believes any of that is going to actually happen. So we're going to make the tough choices right here on The Takeaway. This week, we're going to look every day at one sort of what if we just lopped off some big item in the budget. We're actually starting with a relatively small item this morning, and it's why we've asked Dustin Tingley, assistant professor of government at Harvard University, to join us on the program from Cambridge. Good morning, Professor.
Good morning.
Let's take on foreign aid, maybe because it is so politically high profile, not that it's the hugest dollar item in the budget. Let's just start off by getting rid of all foreign aid. It's roughly $30 to $40 billion. If we were to lop off all foreign aid to governments that aren't here in the United States, first of all, how much would we actually save? And what would the unintended consequences of such an act be?
Well, I don't think we would save a whole lot just because we would end up paying for it down the line. Foreign aid is, you know, one of the most cost-effective instruments of U.S. foreign policy, and, you know, it's something that keeps us in the profile, in the mix overseas. It's something that if we're not doing it, China, Venezuela, Brazil are going to step in. And so it's a really, you know, a key cornerstone of improving development, you know, around the world.
All right, let me take that apart in sure. Three ways. First of all, what do you mean we're not going to be in the mix? We're the big American, you know, Pentagon with we got wars in two places. You know, we're still players no matter whether we have foreign aid or not.
You know, the we're players in the wrong way if the only profile we have is through the Pentagon, through the Defense Department. That's a, you know, very particular profile that one is promoting. That and unless you have the development side, the education side, the health assistance side, then what's the perspective of people overseas on the way they view American foreign policy? It's only going to be viewed in a military way.
And indeed, the Barack Obama campaign on the question of changing America's image around the world, and even Robert Gates has suggested that there needs to be more of a civilian component to nation building rather than the Pentagon. But why is it cost effective? What does a dollar spent on education or foreign aid programs do that is literally cost effective?
Well, it's cost effective in the sense, first of all, a lot of foreign aid that ends up being delivered is delivered by U.S. companies and U.S. consultancies. And so it's not, you know, the conception that just this money flows overseas and has no direct returns to the U.S. economy just isn't the case.
So let me just stop you there. You're saying that there are actual U.S. jobs that are dependent upon foreign aid because USAID employees, for instance, administer the money. There are consultant firms that actually help build schools and create infrastructure. Is that what you're talking about?
Oh, absolutely. And it goes beyond that, and that foreign aid helps open up export markets for the U.S. You know, when you look at when Treasury secretaries go testify before Congress, you know, one of the big arguments that they make is that this is a tool for our own economic development. The subcommittee that in both the Senate and the House used to be named, you know, subcommittee on foreign operations and export financing, right? And so these things have always been intimately wrapped up together.
All right, but let me push back there. I mean, an American listening might say, how does building water purifiers in Bangladesh, okay, mean that suddenly the Bangladeshis are going to suddenly be buying, you know, video games and cars from the United States? That doesn't necessarily flow.
Well, but if you look at the types of commodities that are being imported by a lot of these countries from the U.S., I mean, the U.S. is no longer making textiles, right? So they're not importing these cheap consumer goods. Instead, they're importing, you know, machinery and things like that that are at the cornerstone of the U.S. economy now. So to the extent that these countries are importing, and they do, and they have been some of the fastest growing export markets for the U.S. for some time now. it's hard to see, you know, why that, you know, there are significant advantages to the U.S. economy. Now, but there's also, you know, the building the water for purification plant or whatever else is good, because then what you're doing is you're preventing the spillover of some of the negative effects of lack of development. I mean, when people are poor, that's when you're breeding discontent.
Okay, but wait just a second, Dustin Tingley of Harvard University. We're talking about tough choices here. We're talking about an economy, the U.S. economy, where we owe as much as we make. So, and when you're coming down to tough choices and you're talking about making it harder to get Medicare, making it longer until you get retirement, it seems like we can make some cuts in foreign aid and still help to keep our get our economy online. I mean, we'll still survive.
That's right. No, and I don't think anyone, I don't think many people in the current budget climate are saying simply we cannot, you know, do something on the aid side. But, you know, consider this. In 2008, we spent around $700 billion in military aid. All right. The same year, we spent around $23 billion in development aid. Is that really the right ratio that we want? I don't know. I mean, maybe not. And certainly within the Defense Department, they're starting to get around that. You know, when Gates is saying that we need more of the civilian component, then, you know, maybe the sort of ratio of cuts of military aid to development aid, we should have a real debate about that.
All right. Well, let's have the debate. Let's say we're just going to lop it in half, the foreign aid out of the federal budget. Go to the globe and look at the places in the world where you think we could withdraw that aid without a huge sort of geopolitical impact, and the places where it's absolutely essential. Give me a map sense of that.
Oh, geez, that's a tough question.
Well, Pakistan, we want to stick with, probably, right?
Well, Pakistan, we want to stick with, but you know, it's what type of aid do we want to be sending there? You know, are we wanting to be sending F-16 fighter jets to a regime that's increasingly unstable, or you know, is it a sort of hearts and minds campaign that that is more important?
All right,
than
but that's about the Pentagon versus the development aid. You would say strategically, go where the Chinese are and compete with them. That's the best way to get the best bang for our foreign aid buck at this point.
Well, and if you look at what the Chinese are doing, they're going to Africa increasingly, right? And we've been there for a long time, and so have a number of our allies. And you know, it seems to me, you know, when there's a certainly a good place to stay. It's hard to think about pulling out of Africa now.
Arguing passionately for maintaining some level of a foreign aid in the federal budget, if we cut it in half, it'd be about $17 billion. Right now, it's between $30 and $40 billion. Dustin Tingley, assistant professor of government at Harvard University, helping us make hard choices on the federal budget. Thanks, Professor.
No problem.